It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. You know, clients often come in for nutritional consultations because they are fatigued. And, you know, they complain about being tired all day. They get up tired. They go to bed tired. They're tired all day. You know, I found the primary reason for fatigue and being tired is just a general lack of sleep. So I may ask a client, how many hours of sleep do you get each night? And I'm always pretty surprised. You know, sometimes it's only 3 or 4 hours a night, or maybe 4 or 5 hours a night. But oftentimes it's 6 hours or less. And sometimes that's interrupted restless sleep. So is there any wonder we are a nation of tired people? People sleeping only a few hours per night are usually people having trouble sleeping. Guess that. I mean, that's, you know, if you're one of those people and not being able to sleep 8 or 9 hours a night, you know, stay tuned because we want to give you some nutritional solutions to your sleep problems. You know, really nutritional solutions to your sleep problems. Our co-host is Kara Carper, who has completed her master's degree in holistic health from St. Catherine's College last year. And she's currently teaching many of our weight and wellness classes. She teaches many of our corporate classes. She sees clients, consults clients at our offices in Wayzata, St. Paul. So, Kara, you've been on the show a couple of times. Welcome.
I know. It's my fourth time.
I know in the past. And the reason I invited you, because I know in the past you've had some problems sleeping, but you pretty much have gotten that under control, haven't you?
That's right, Dar. I still do have the occasional issues with sleep, but for the most part, I sleep really well. And because of my own sleep problems, I feel like I've become an expert in this
area. I think you have.
Come to me with questions. But, you know, usually I can help even the most chronic sleep-deprived person to be able to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night on a regular basis. And 60 million Americans suffer from disturbed sleep, so if you can't sleep, you're not alone out there.
Now, just think of that. 60 million people are having trouble sleeping. You know, I know many of my clients, you know, they feel tired, spacey, you know, but they don't really realize the effects of lack of sleep has on their brain and on their body. And I think that they just don't connect that, do they, Kara?
No, I mean, you think of lack of sleep making you tired, but it affects other areas of your life that you wouldn't realize. And there's an interesting study, 68,000 women were in the study. It was published in November of 2006 in the American Journal of Epidemiology. And it found that those who were sleeping less than 7 hours a night on a regular basis ended up gaining more weight than women who were getting 7 or more hours per
night. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And even more interesting, the amount of weight that the women gained increased as the amount of sleep that they were getting decreased. So women sleeping only 5 hours gained more weight than women sleeping 6 hours. And the study found that women who slept for less than 7 hours a night had a higher risk of developing obesity. So study participants who slept 8 or more hours a night were the least likely of this group to be gaining weight.
So think of this. This is a fairly remarkable study. There were almost 70,000 women participating. So perhaps the best weight loss diet you can adopt is getting 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night. You know, maybe this is the magic quick fix weight loss miracle that everyone is looking for. Just think of this. Can't you see the headlines? New weight loss program. Sleep away your pounds. Isn't that a great idea?
That is a great idea. They should do that. Well, in this study, the researchers also found that lack of sleep did not cause people to either increase the amount of calories they were taking in or to decrease their level of physical activity. So what that really means is they were eating and exercising the same, and they were still gaining weight. So it was the lack of sleep that led to their obesity.
So isn't that interesting? They weren't up munching away.
Nope, and they weren't sitting in front of the TV not exercising.
So again, researchers found that it was the lack of sleep that slowed the metabolism. So, you know, we keep going back over this because I think it's so hard for people to really realize that you have to get 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night to have a good metabolism. And, you know, maybe that's all you have to do. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be really nice. I think that's a new thought for a lot of people. The Columbia University School of Public Health also found that lack of sleep was linked to high blood pressure. So people sleeping less than 5 hours a night doubled their risk of developing high blood pressure.
You know, what happens basically when you sleep with your blood pressure is, you know, it slows your heart down when you sleep enough, and then your blood pressure drops. But if you only sleep 5 or 6 hours, your blood pressure stays high. And I can get, I mean, that's a personal, I can tell you that. If I don't get enough sleep, I can kind of tell that my blood pressure is a little bit higher than I would like it.
You've always said that.
Yeah.
Lack of sleep is also linked to inflammation. And sometimes people complain of aches and pains in the morning when they haven't slept much the night before.
Well, I know that one also personally, Cara, because if I don't get enough sleep, I kind of have that inflammation response in my body. And I, you know, I really notice it if I have to catch an early flight. You know, we were just talking about that before we went on air. Neither one of us are early morning people.
Not so much.
We like our sleep in the morning. But if I don't, you know, if I'm just getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep, I have kind of inflammation in my body, and basically it just doesn't work for me. That's all it is. And I'm not going to do that early morning stuff.
Right. Try to get the later flight.
Yeah, that's right.
If lack of sleep happens to people several times a week, this inflammation can actually occur inside the blood vessels, and that can lead to not only high blood pressure and heart disease, but also conditions like fibromyalgia.
And, you know, I know we've said this on other shows, but the number one cause of heart disease is actually that inflammation inside the blood vessels.
Yes, it is.
So, and most people don't even realize that is the number one cause of heart disease. So, you know, we had about 82,000 nurses participating in a Harvard Nurses study that linked insufficient sleep to increased risk. Wow. Have to talk faster here. An increased risk of colon cancer, breast cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. And just think of all the nurses that are working those double shifts. I think that that must be really increasing their risk for chronic diseases. And I kind of, we see a lot of nurses in our office as clients. And a lot of times it is related back to those double shifts that they're working, or, you know, the
Sure, that really taxes your body.
Yes, it does. So I think, you know, going back, and you can see that Harvard and all Columbia and all these people are doing these studies, and they're all saying the same thing, aren't they, Cara?
They are. And another interesting fact, and this is sad to say, but sleep-deprived people don't live as long. So you can see that getting your sleep problem corrected is very important, and not just so you'll have more energy and less fatigue during the day, but just to have a higher metabolism and just to be healthier overall.
And I know that there's one group of people, and if you're listening out there, it's women that are getting into those menopausal years. And 95% of menopausal women, I mean, this is huge, isn't it? 95% of us report difficulty with sleep. So what we wanted to do today on the show is start with nutritional solutions for perimenopausal and menopausal women that are having trouble sleeping. You know, many of our clients that are in their, you know, their 40s, maybe in their 50s, maybe in their 70s, you know, they wake up in the middle of the night, they can't get back to sleep, and they just can't stay asleep, and they recycle thoughts, and they're miserable, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the worst, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're just laying there staring at the alarm clock.
Yes, definitely. It is.
Well, let's look at some research around perimenopausal and menopausal women. They ovulate less frequently, and so the production of progesterone, the hormone progesterone, is less. And progesterone is the hormone that helps people to relax and to naturally get a good night of sleep. So sometimes it's not necessarily the hot flashes or night sweats that's waking women up. It could be the lack of progesterone.
So I think what we're going to do is, before we take a break here, we're going to take a quick call because we have Pamela?
Yeah, I have a question about what's the effect of those, how does it affect when you're working third shift?
I think it has a negative, well, the research shows that it has a negative effect, definitely. Because okay. I think what happens, now do you work with third shift?
No, I don't, but my brother does, and he's been doing it for a number of years, and yeah. then he'll come home and go to bed at 7 a.m. and get up at 3 p.m., and it's, you know, years and years of doing this.
Yes, and I, you know, it's they have found in research that those are the people that have more, certainly they have more insulin resistance and they have more health problems. And I think it's really difficult to people for people to really sleep enough hours during the day to counteract that. But what we're, you know, about 90 or to 95% of the population feel the best when they go to bed at 11, go to sleep, and wake up at 7 in the morning. That's how we are kind of our circadian rhythm. That's how we are based. And so we all feel better if we do it that way. So if you're trying to work that third shift, it really wears you down, and it's a toll on your health.
Yeah, and I would think that it would have an effect just trying to sleep when the sun's out.
Oh, I think so, too. Yes.
Yeah, regardless of how dark the room may get.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. Sometimes there's just no solution because that's what people have to do to have a job.
Yep.
So, you know, the best thing to try to counteract that is to make sure that somehow that person is getting at least enough, that 8 hours of sleep during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
But thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the show. And I think what we're going to do is take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, you know, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. Prescription drugs often have side effects that seem completely unrelated to their function. You know, a study in the Archives of Internal Medicine dated January 2007 reported that the use of drugs such as, you know, Zoloft, Paxil, Prozac, and other antidepressants doubles the risk of a broken bone. So learn about nutritional solutions to depression in our class, Balanced Foods for Balanced Moods, which is being held Thursday, August 7th from 6:30 to 8:30 at our YZ office. Now, if you have questions today about sleep, call us at 651-641-1071.
Does your nutrition knowledge come from the back of a cereal box? If it does, that may explain why you aren't getting the health results you seek. More people are struggling with metabolism, fatigue, pain, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer than ever before. If you haven't made the connection between what you eat and your health risks, it's time you do. Where do you start? With nutrition education that explains how to eat real, whole foods in balance for better health today and tomorrow. Nutritional Weight and Wellness teaches sound, research-based nutrition in a fun, interactive style. Want to balance your moods? Increase focus? Focus and energy? Attend Balanced Food for Balanced Moods. Seeking relief for achy joints and sore muscles? Try foods to reduce pain and inflammation. They have another popular class called Jumpstart Your Metabolism. Classes are offered in community ed programs throughout the metro area. Nutritional Weight and Wellness also teaches more in-depth classes and the signature Weight and Wellness series at their offices in St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake. For more information, call 651-699-3438 or log on to weightandwellness.com.
I want to thank you for giving me time to breathe. Like a rock, you wait so patiently while I got it together.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. As we know today, bone loss is a huge problem for women over 50. Broken bones for older women and men are usually the result of osteoporosis or low bone density. And researchers studying 5,000 adults over a 5-year period found that those taking SSRI antidepressant medications, such as Prozac or Zoloft, were twice as likely to have low bone density and be at risk for a broken bone. And most medications do have side effects and often will cause other health problems.
So maybe it's time to think about possibilities of not doing those things if possible and look at what you're really eating. But before the break, we were talking about women that were in menopause or perimenopause and they were having trouble sleeping. And we were explaining the fact that, you know, as you get into that time in your life, you are not ovulating as often and you're not making the natural progesterone, that a hormone that we naturally make when we ovulate. And so sometimes it helps to add a little extra progesterone at night so that you can sleep a little bit better. That's kind of, you know, that kind of wraps up where we were talking. And, sometimes that just using like a fourth of a teaspoon of natural progesterone at night before you go to bed, you'll sleep well. You know, a natural progesterone cream is an over-the-counter product. It's sold in most health food stores. You know, and the studies have found that they have found no adverse effect or any other health risk when people use progesterone cream. You know, as far as I know, it's been used for 40 or 50 years. And at this point, there's been no negative reports. So it's pretty safe. It's not like doing hormone replacement. It's just adding a little natural progesterone cream.
And progesterone, it's actually a transdermal cream. And we recommend rubbing it on areas of your body where you have thinner skin. So areas like inside your wrist, the palms of your hands, or over your neck area where your thyroid is located. Those are all good areas.
You know, I think we forgot maybe, Cara, to give out the phone number. You know, if people want to call us, it is 651-641-1071. So sometimes people do have questions about progesterone mm-hmm. or other sleep aids and would be happy to answer any of those questions. You know, even myself, I decided like a few years ago, you know, when I hit a certain age, well, it was 60. At that time, it was 65. And I just said, oh, you know, when you get to be 65, you don't need progesterone cream anymore. Well, so I stopped using it. And suddenly about 3 months later, I wasn't sleeping very well. And it took me a couple of weeks to kind of figure it out. You know, we always forget about ourselves, but I was sitting with a client and talking about it, and I suddenly realized that I hadn't been using it. So I went right back to using progesterone cream, and I used it one night, and it didn't seem to make much effect. But the second night, I was sleeping, and I haven't stopped. 5 years later, I'm still using progesterone cream, and I'm still sleeping great. And, you know, I know personally for myself, because I happen to be a person that's on most of the time in my job and my life, I need at least 8 hours of sleep every night to support my memory. If I don't, my memory isn't so good. So I find that sleep sort of regenerates my brain, and so that I actually think a lot more clearly. So if you lack sleep, you may be having difficulty concentrating. You might be experiencing some poor memory. And sometimes people even lack good judgment. That's how it affects your brain. It's amazing.
And I know sleep has always been, you make sleep such a priority.
I do.
Which I think people have to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree with mm-hmm. you. You know, probably when I was younger, I didn't make sleep that much of a priority, but I do now. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I understand having three little grandchildren that my daughter may have wanted to make sleep a priority. But,
not everyone has that luxury. You're right.
You know, in fact, she was just talking yesterday about this because having a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 11-month-old, there's been about 5 years, 6 years that she has not gotten as much sleep. And she said there were times that she has actually forgotten. I mean, she, you know, and I remember that too with little kids. You forget you didn't get enough sleep, and it's just those, all that memory, those days just have gone away.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked about the perimenopause and menopausal aged women, but a lot of younger clients in general are having trouble sleeping too. And that was definitely me. I was one of those younger people with sleep problems. And my first recommendation for anyone having sleep problems is to have a bedtime snack, which sometimes goes against what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think don't eat before bed. But it's really important what you're eating. So the bedtime snack cannot be a high sugar food, because sugar is going to turn your brain on to start recycling thoughts.
Not good, is it?
No, we don't want recycled thoughts in the middle of the night. So say no to candy, cookies, you know, even popcorn and cereal turned into a lot of sugar, you know, or frozen yogurt or ice cream. Those would not be examples of good bedtime snacks.
So, Cara, let's take a caller here. Hi, Doris. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today?
Yes. My question is, I have myself personally tried like rescue sleep you spray under the tongue.
Yep.
I've tried, melatonin.
Yep.
None of that's working. I really don't care to, my doctor told me to give Tylenol PM a try, and I'm real anti taking anything if I don't have to.
Well, you know what Tylenol PM is it's Tylenol with Benadryl.
Okay.
And so if you're going to do that, take Benadryl. But yeah. I mean, you know, it's going to weigh, it's a lot less expensive, but you know, right. basically it's going to weigh, you're going to be groggy in the morning and you're not going to feel well taking Benadryl. Right. I mean, you take it because you have an allergic reaction usually.
Right.
So, and most people don't realize that that's what Tylenol PM is. It's just,
yeah.
But so what else? I mean, you've tried those couple of things.
Well, I've tried them, and, you know, yeah, I was in an exercise routine doing better. I haven't lately now. I've kind of, you know, sloughed off, and I am on an antidepressant Zoloft, which I don't know. I don't know if it really seems to be helping, but
okay, well,
I don't know. I just really toss and turn and get up, and I'm tired, you know, off and on, of course, during the day then. And
so, I mean, here's a few questions to ask yourself. First of all, do you eat a healthy bedtime snack, like, you know, something that is higher in fat? You know, maybe if you ate like a half a fruit and a half a cup of nuts or a fourth of a cup of nuts, or if you ate like some sardines and wassa cracker, okay. or, you know, something, an apple with some peanut butter, something like that. A good, okay. not popcorn.
Okay.
Because popcorn's going to keep you awake.
Well, and I tend to find out, I don't know what it is with popcorn, but I tend to have a lot of dreams or nightmares off of popcorn.
Well, I mean, because it's probably got bad fat in it, and that's probably yeah. what, and it's, popcorn is usually bad fat and sugar. So
yeah.
get rid of those things. And then our next, Carl, talk about magnesium a bit, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, and I take magnesium before bed every night, and that seems to be very helpful for people because it relaxes all the muscles in your body.
Okay.
And most people are going to need probably 400 milligrams.
Okay.
And a really absorbable form of magnesium is called glycinate.
Okay.
So it's magnesium glycinate.
Okay.
And if you take like four of those, 400 to 600 milligrams at bedtime.
Okay.
Sometimes that's all that people need.
Yeah, that's often. And then I would say if that doesn't add, make it, then add a little bit of the progesterone cream.
Okay.
Like a fourth of a teaspoon at bedtime.
Okay.
You know, rubbed in over your thyroid or wrists, and I think you'll be sleeping.
I hope so, because it's been a long haul, I'll
So keep listening to the show, because we have some other ideas as we go along here.
Okay.
But those are some of the first things to look at.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, Doris, for the call.
Yeah.
You know, kind of let's just kind of go over that just a little bit more as far as some of the better bedtime snacks.
Sure. Well, you know, we had said staying away from the high sugar foods. So some good snacks would be something with a healthy fat, because that fat's going to stabilize our blood sugar, keep us sleeping through the night. So peanut butter or any nut butter, nuts, avocado, and maybe having a piece of fruit with that or some veggies.
Mm-hmm. And I found one that really works great. If people will make a little salmon salad and put it right in the middle of a half an avocado, they usually will sleep that night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to take a break here. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in life-changing nutrition education. You know, another interesting side effect of medication is often constipation. As much as 40% of the chronic constipation is caused by medication. Pain medications, antidepressants, iron supplements are among the worst offenders. There are many nutritional solutions for constipation. There are also many nutritional solutions for pain and depression. So if you, again, have questions about sleep or anything today, 651-641-1071.
Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carver, nutrition educator and counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist. We are discussing the nutritional solutions to sleep problems. And I learned that I had to follow all the nutritional recommendations, like having the balanced bedtime snack, no to little caffeine, and exercising daily.
Yes, you do. Exercise daily.
Yep, that wears you out so you can sleep well at night. To figure out the best supplements for sleep, I did need additional help and support. I didn't just know all of this. So if you have a sleep problem, I believe that I can help you develop and follow a plan that will help you to sleep again.
I believe that too. So let's, we have a caller here, Julie. You have a question for us? Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Julie?
Yes. Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. My question is, does vitamin D deficiency impact sleep or cause that feeling of inflammation when you wake up with aches and pains?
Well, it certainly does cause that feeling of inflammation. Yes, it does. So have you had your vitamin D test taken?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I think that's, if you kind of suspect that you might be low on vitamin D, I'd go in and find out exactly what your levels are. It's just a blood test, and they can measure your blood levels. And, you know, and the more the new research is showing that it should be at, you know, a rating of 50 or 55 or better. They used to think anything above 30 was okay, but now they've kind of moved those numbers up a little bit to about 55 to be sufficient vitamin D. But many, many, many people in Minnesota are low on vitamin D. So it definitely relates to inflammation in your body. So, I mean, I would certainly do that. And I think that, you know, low vitamin D can affect your sleep because you're going to, I believe people with lower vitamin D can have more anxiety. And so more anxiety means not sleeping so well. So
are supplements of if I get tested
sure.
and I'm low, and
yep.
are supplements of vitamin D good and how much if they are?
Well, it kind of depends on how low you are. You know, personally, I take 2,000 to 3,000 every day, you know, and I'm not outside a lot in the summer. So if I was outside a lot in the summer, I would probably take at least 1,000 IUs of vitamin D. Some people take 5,000. So I don't know, Carr, do you take vitamin D?
Well, I had my levels tested and they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to either get outside every day or just take 1,000 international units to make sure that they remain high
yes,
enough.
Right. So, yes, they're perfectly safe, and their vitamin D3 is what you're really taking. And you can take it in an oil form or you can take it in a capsule form, whatever people prefer. And, you know, our old-fashioned cod liver oil actually has about 400 milligrams or IUs of vitamin D in it. A teaspoon, and also then it would have some vitamin A in it. So you can see the old-fashioned grandmothers that used to make sure that their kids took vitamin D, you can understand why. And I think a lot of mothers are making their kids take vitamin take cod liver oil now to get their vitamin D. So, and their vitamin A. So,
is there any problem with the cod liver oil and you know, the concern with heavy metals in fish and that sort of thing?
I think most all the companies are at a high quality grade level. Like, you know, Metagenics has a great brand. There's one that's called Nordic Naturals. And, you know, Carlson's, all these are really, you know, pharmaceutical grade fish oil types, cod liver oil. So they're all safe.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Great question for us today. So, you know, we were talking about snacks. Well, a lot of people would say, I'm going to do chocolate because that sounds like a good snack, right?
Right, chocolate has fat in it, right? Well, I guess that's not the kind of snack we're referring to because chocolate is high in caffeine. So for someone with insomnia, that wouldn't be good before bed.
So let's talk about caffeine a little bit. You know, I know since I've gotten older, I have gotten so sensitive to caffeine. And I'm not doing caffeine these days. Maybe a little bit of green tea, but I really don't even do coffee in the morning because I know for myself that's how sensitive I am to caffeine. It's kind of a bummer sometimes, but that's reality. So if I want to sleep, I don't do caffeine. You know, I just stay away from it.
What about decaf? Have you ever ordered a decaf coffee only to find out as you're laying there tossing and turning at night that the decaf had too much caffeine in it?
Oh, yes, that's happened to me. And if you go to some of these coffee shops, even one of the news stations, you know, one of the TV stations did a news report on this, and they went to all the local coffee shops, and they found that some of the decaf had 200 milligrams of caffeine in it. And if you make coffee at home, it usually has about 200 milligrams of caffeine. So I think that's probably why a lot of people, when they order decaf, they can't sleep because there's really a lot.
You can't really count on that.
No, that's right. So I think what we should do is probably take a quick break here, Cara. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Often clients are puzzled over what to eat at bedtime for the best sleep Or they will wonder if eating a bedtime snack will actually keep them awake. Well, some of them do. But we have found that a low-sugar, high-fat snack is the best. You know, a deviled egg with a half a cup of melon, or sardines on a cracker, or a half an apple with peanut butter. Those are all great snacks, aren't they? So if people have questions today, it's 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Inability to sleep is very frustrating for people.
Very frustrating, isn't it?
And, you know, waking up at 2:30 in the morning, not being able to get back to sleep can cause anxiety, which actually makes it harder to get back to sleep. And taking sleep medication is only a Band-Aid approach to the problem. And a better solution that will not have a negative side effect is a nutritional solution. So if you are having issues with sleep, give our office a call today and make an appointment with a nutrition counselor, 651-699-3438.
So, Cara, I think what we'll do is we'll take a caller here. Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the show. You have a question for us today?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My daughter was recommended from her pediatrician to go to a metabolic clinic for weight concern.
Yep.
And they diagnosed her as insulin resistant.
Okay.
Metformin, I believe, is the medication. She doesn't take it consistently, and I don't see, she's 16, so it's hard because I'm not with her all the time as far as, like, what choices she's making and things like that. I don't know what can I do as a parent to...
Well, I have a great idea for you because it goes back to food. And at 16, you have to start taking some of that. You have to become in charge somewhat of what you're putting in your mouth. So we have these wonderful classes called weight and wellness classes, and they start this coming week. And we have, you know, they're all over. And we have one in Chanhassen. And what part of town do you live in?
Maplewood.
Maplewood. Okay. We have one in White Bear Lake. We have one in St. Paul. So these are two-hour classes. There's six classes. And we spend a lot of time on insulin resistance and what foods to eat to change that. Because, you know, you can take a medication, but it's a Band-Aid approach to it. Mm-hmm. And at 16, it's really a Band-Aid approach. And so what you have to do is you have to get the right foods going in. And she has to understand that kind of on an intellectual level. And to help, and the structures are great. They help people make changes. And it's, you know, it being part of a class and being part of a group, it's like everybody's wanting to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, most of the instructors have struggled with some type of nutritional problem in their past. You know, maybe it's been insulin resistance with Cara, it was sleep problems. So it's different for every person. But, you know, it really can help. Now, if that's not, we also have another class coming up on insulin resistance, don't we? Which is only a two-hour class. But
yep, and that's actually in Wayzata, the one coming up.
And that's what... Do we have what night is that?
Let's see here.
We'll find that just a minute for you. But we do have one coming up this week, I think.
Okay. Managing Insulin and Blood Sugar in Wayzata, Thursday, July 24th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
So that's only a two-hour class. So maybe start with that.
Okay.
So call our, you know, that's, it's like $25 per person for that class.
And do you think that that's something that she would be able to relate to?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
We make it so that everyone in that class gets it and understand it.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Great question.
Okay,
so
care.
Thank you for the call. You know, I think a couple of things that for people to realize, again, you know, kind of recap a little bit on sleep is, first, you get a good balanced snack, you know, something that's got a little fat in it, a little carb, you know, like nuts and a half an apple. That's an idea. Then also, you know, don't do caffeine. Just kind of get rid of it out of your daily habits. And then and the next thing is maybe we talked a little bit about this before, Cara, but take some magnesium, right?
Right. And most people find that 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium glycinate will help them get to sleep and stay sleeping through the night. And, you know, 62% of us are deficient in this mineral of magnesium. And it not only helps you sleep, but that's going to help with muscle cramps, restless leg syndrome, even chocolate cravings.
So actually, all your muscles throughout your whole body, even your heart, and that's why I take basically 700 milligrams of magnesium every day just to relax my blood vessels and to keep me from having high blood pressure. I mean, that works. So, you know, so if we're thinking about sleep again, you know, additional to, you know, have a bedtime snack, reduce your caffeine, add magnesium, and then we also recommend reducing the amount of sugar that you're taking in per day. Just think about this. If you have a couple of cups of cereal, that is over 20 teaspoons of sugar in your body. That's a lot of sugar. Most people cannot tolerate that much. It's almost what you need for the whole day, isn't it, Cara? So let's take a caller here. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was diagnosed with neuropathy. I got numbness in my leg and some cramping at night. And I've been to a neurologist a couple times, and they just say, well, it's genetic and we can't do anything for it. And I exercise daily and eat pretty good, and I was just wondering if you had any suggestions.
Magnesium.
Okay. You said 700 milligrams?
Start with 400 to 600 milligrams at bedtime. Also, do you take alpha-lipoic acid?
No.
For neuropathy?
Okay.
A lot of research. You know, I hate to advertise all the time, but, you know, sometimes it makes sense to come in and see one of us because if you've got neuropathy, there's a lot of things. Are you taking fish oil?
I mean, yeah, I just started some.
Okay. You know, probably take, three to 4,000 milligrams of fish oil a day.
Okay.
I mean, all these things are great for neuropathy.
And like you just said, as far as cutting off on the caffeine and sugar.
Cut off the caffeine and the sugar. Sugar increases neuropathy for sure.
Okay, and calcium, would you say more of that too?
Good quality calcium. You know, calcium citrate, but not carbonate. Calcium citrate. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Great call. Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. So, I don't know. So, should we just take one more question here? Wendy, welcome to the show. You have a question about night sweats, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm waking up with night sweats constantly for like the last month.
Okay. Well, great thing too is progesterone cream.
Okay.
No sugar.
Okay.
Cut your sugar way down. Get rid of those processed carbohydrates.
All right.
And use about a fourth of a teaspoon of natural progesterone cream at bedtime. You know, you rub it over your thyroid, you rub it inner parts of your wrist, palms of your hands, and I bet your night sweats goes away.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Easy questions today. Boom, just like that. I think we need to take a break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, if you have a friend or a family member with a sleep problem, you know, direct them over to our website, weightandwellness.com, and that's all spelled out. And they can just click on radio show and listen to today's show at their convenience. Sleep should really be a pleasant experience, and it should restore your energy and health. So any other questions today, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, we had mentioned our weight and wellness classes that are starting up on next week, and we also mentioned the insulin resistance class. Just want to briefly talk about three more classes that are two-hour, one-time classes. Foods to reduce pain and inflammation at our St. Paul office. Hot flash, solutions for perimenopause and menopause at our Wyzetta office. And nutritional solutions for osteoporosis at our White Bear Lake office. And if you have questions about sleep and you would like some personal recommendations, feel free to call me at our office Monday or Tuesday, 651-699-3438, and I would be very happy to talk about your situation.
So, Carl, a lot of people are calling in and asking, where do you buy this progesterone cream? So, I mean, we do have it at our offices, but you can buy it at most health food stores.
It is over the counter.
It's over the counter, and sometimes the quality varies, but you know, it's basically all the same. I mean, it's some of the qualities, the ingredients going into it are vary, but the basic progesterone is the same. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So I know we have a lady on the line that would like to ask us about a diet for MS. And if we don't get to her, I'm going to be going over to our office to work this afternoon. And so if she wants to call us over there, I'd be happy to talk to her. My office number is 651-699-3438. Because there was some things that we want to kind of finish up on, other things that you can do for sleep. I mean, we've taken magnesium, we're taking maybe some progesterone, we're getting our snacks. So what are some other things that we can do if those aren't working?
Well, some other sleep aids, natural sleep aids that I found to be helpful are 5-HTP and theanine. And taking both of those always helps me to get a good night's sleep, you know, not only falling asleep, but staying asleep through the night.
Now, theanine is something that's most people don't even know what it is. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But first, we want to talk about what 5-HTP is. It's a form of tryptophan, which is an amino acid found in meat. And most people associate tryptophan with eating turkey at Thanksgiving time.
And being tired.
So that's what it does. It helps to make serotonin. 5-HT helps make serotonin, which again helps us sleep and relax. I mean, that's what it does.
And theanine is an extract that's found in green tea leaves that also helps us relax and sleep. And everything we're talking about today, all these sleep aids, are natural and they don't create dependency. And I personally have found theanine to be a great stress-reducing support with no side effects.
You know, I think that one of the things, you've been using theanine now for about 2 or 3 years, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you've been talking to me about theanine. So this week I asked Jean, because I started researching theanine for our show, and I said, well, okay, we better bring theanine into our office. So probably in the middle of the week we'll have theanine. And it's pretty relatively inexpensive supplement. And for some people, it just works like magic. You used to actually use it before you went on the radio show, and now you don't need it.
Now I don't need it. Now I'm not nervous anymore.
So what does theanine do? It promotes relaxation. You know, it helps with PMS symptoms. It reduces anxiety. And it basically helps us get into that REM sleep. You know, if you dream, you're into REM sleep.
And that's the restorative sleep that we want, the deep sleep, which lasts about 30 to 40 minutes. And you should have 4 to 6 of those sleep cycles.
So kind of to recap a little bit. So if you're having trouble getting to sleep, and I would say start with magnesium glycinate. And then, of course, you're going to start with your balanced snack first. You know that. And you're going to get rid of your caffeine, right? And then you're going to take magnesium glycinate. And then, Cara?
5-HTP and theanine.
And theanine. So, remember that food can be your problem, such as caffeine, but we believe food is a solution to your sleep problem. So thank you for listening. Cara, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great day.
Bye.